Hello, you're listening to the sandtrap.com's first podcast. We don't have an official name yet, but Jeff does, and his name is Mossman. So, hello, Mossman.
Hello, sir. Joining you from Olympia, Washington.
Yes, and I'm joining you from frigid Erie, Pennsylvania, where it's a whopping 42 degrees.
Oh, man.
So, don't tell me you're going to play golf later, I already know.
Yeah, well, you know, it's clear enough, as I said. It's getting bluer by the minute, so.
All right, well, whatever. So, we'll talk about the end of most of the United States golf season later in the show, but first we got an idiot from France.
I asked Mr. Vandeveld, Jean Vandeveld, has decided to try to qualify for the Women's British Open coming up. He feels that shaving his legs and wearing a kilt will perhaps be his way onto that event.
Well, I suppose if he lacks anything under the kilt, he would qualify, but this is all, of course, a reaction to the fact that women are now allowed to qualify for the British Open, which, as we both know, because we understand the English language, does not have the word men's in front of it. I suppose after failing to qualify for the Women's British Open, Jean Vandeveld will attempt to beat up on 12-year-olds on the AJGA circuit or the Champions Tour or your grandma or I don't know.
Yeah, well, this is kind of in keeping with the good relationship that the British have with the French.
That's true, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Hadn't thought of that, but yeah. I don't know. I mean, I guess, like I said, if he didn't have much under the skirt, as some would suspect, he may be okay.
Yeah, he might.
So, we'll wait to see. I mean, Jean is a girl's name anyway, right? Oh, well.
It's okay to give the French a bad time.
I know. I've been to France. I like the French, but this particular one just happens to be an idiot. So, speaking of idiots, we got a course architect that despises technology and apparently hasn't watched the PGA Tour in 10 years because he thinks that Tiger Woods only gets 5 yards a roll in a fairway. Jeff, what do you think of this?
Well, to play devil's advocate a little bit, I mean, we have Shackelford, you know, who feels that it's only the equipment and the ball, you know, basically the clubs and the ball that make a difference, when in fact there's a lot of factors involved in why people get so much distance off the tee. And that's really the gripe, is off the tee.
And no one's really talked about the fact that whether or not it's good or bad. You know, I mean, Tiger Woods is obviously a little more of a physical specimen than Jack Nicklaus was when he came out. Sure. Given the same equipment, Tiger Woods is probably going to hit the ball further. So today's pros are driving the ball further. Yeah. But is that good or bad? Nobody's really determined that. I, for one, really don't think it's a bad thing. I think there are a number of factors that contribute to the fact that everybody's driving the ball further nowadays than they did 30 years ago, or 50 years ago, or 200 years ago. Yeah. And I think it's important to look at all the factors, including the role they get in the fairways. And if Mr. Shackelford thinks that Tiger's only getting 5 yards, then he didn't watch the British Open, the U.S. Open, or pretty much any PGA Tour event in the past decade.
No, he hasn't. And, you know, I think of Jack Nicklaus playing his last British Open. I mean, here's a guy who, you know, he's wildly successful, but he was driving the ball pretty far himself.
And rolling. I mean, it's tough to say how much of it is the equipment versus maybe a better understanding of launch conditions. Mm-hmm. You know, high launch, low spin, a new thing. People 10, 20 years ago with persimmon drivers, a good drive started off pretty low, and because it had so much backspin, would kind of climb. You definitely don't want that ball flight nowadays. We know a little bit more about maximizing distance. And it's not necessarily because someone's using a titanium driver, because they can better match their swing and the club they're using with the loft and so on to match that. You know, give Tiger Woods a wood-headed driver, a persimmon driver, and an old Bellotta, and I'm pretty sure he's going to find a way to hit the ball pretty far. Yes, we don't have.
And like you say, it's conditioning. A lot of it's conditioning and tightly cropped fairways, harder fairways. launch conditions, a lot of different factors involved here.
Yeah, better conditioning of the players. Like I said, I'm pretty sure I'd take Tiger Woods to kick anybody from the 1930s, but...
Yep.
So, I don't know.
Yes, indeed.
It's the end of the year, as we know, so we got a bunch of people chasing the top 30 and the top 125. Just wrote an article about Ryan Moore. He's the first guy since Tiger Woods to qualify for the PGA Tour without going to Q School.
Yeah, I just think what he's done is pretty remarkable. I mean, he had seven sponsors exemptions going in, and
this is all, of course,
but cut after turning. Well, he I believe it was the Barclays.
As we, he didn't play so well right when he first got on tour.
No, he didn't play very well at all. He only earned somewhere in the neighborhood of $18,000 in that first event. Missed the cut.
AJG.
Second two events as a pro,
right.
And really took off. His keeping with the good, he placed tied for second, and pretty remarkable actually what he's done in just a short amount of time. In 10 events, missing the cut twice, he's qualified to play in 2006.
That's great, and I'm happy to have him out there. He's a talented guy with a funky swing, and you don't see much of that on the PGA Tour nowadays, with everybody being pretty much a robot. Having one variation or another of the same swing.
Fun to watch.
30th on the money list is Charles Howell. He may have gotten high enough that he can't once again let me down by faltering in the last round. He's also in second place right now at the Chrysler, whatever it is. This one's the Chrysler Championship, not the Chrysler Classic or the Chrysler Beer Fest or whatever. Jason Bones in 31st. He has a win this year. Unfortunately, it was at the BC Open or something, so not a whole lot of money. For a guy that's played reasonably well this year, he's only got $1.877 million. Only.
Yeah.
$1.877 million.
He's really hurting.
Yeah. 125 on the money list right now is Rocco Mediate with only $582,000, so... I don't know. We go down, let's see. 200th on the money list. $175,900.
Wow.
Way out of qualifying for next year. 30 years ago. Anywhere near the top 125 and only $176,000.
Well, Eric, you got to keep in mind how much it costs to keep the guy on the tour. You got a hotel cost, and you got to eat out all the time. So.
Yep.
It's a rough world.
I don't know. Yeah. Whatever, they don't have to pay for golf balls. If they had to pay for that, I could maybe see their point.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, well. Peter Larnard, who probably could have won out there at Torrey Pines when Tiger came away with it, is tied for 14th. Fred Couples is outside looking in. He's at 34th. Joe Ogilvy, he's on my fantasy team this week. He's 33rd on the money list this week and didn't play too badly yesterday, just 1 over 72. So we'll keep an eye on those guys. It's always an interesting time of year. You get to Tiger may not be playing, VJ might miss the cut, but interesting storylines out there. So
you bet. And people like Freddie Couples not even trying.
Yeah,
he's taking the week off.
He's okay. So
he's been there, done that.
VJ Singh apparently will be taking a weekend off. Shoots a second round 71, and he's at +3. Projected cut lines still at +2, so two weeks in a row
for the guys.
We'll talk more about that later, but right now we got some rumors for you. Yes, Titleist is a sponsor of the Sand Trap, but we're neither confirming nor denying any of these rumors. We're getting them from another website. You can find the link in the link list for the show notes. Titleist has an updated version of the 905T, called the 905R, kind of supposedly pushes the size up to 460 cc's. Jeff, you play the 905T, right?
I sure do. Yeah, I love that club.
So, a slightly bigger version of that, maybe, in the spring of next year. The 695 irons, they have the 690 MBs and CBs right now. Basically, a slightly updated version of that. I've been playing the 735s. Those obviously aren't a rumor because they're available. Great set of clubs. John Daly supposedly may be joining Cobra Golf. I would rank that as a pretty low possibility based on what I know, but the rumor's out there. And from Titleist, the biggest thing I'm looking forward to that we posted a picture or two on our site is the hybrid they have. This year I've set the 503H, the iron-like hybrid, aside. And Jeff, you saw at the Newport Cup, I was still using the TaylorMade Rescue.
So you were. It's a great club.
It gets you out of trouble pretty well, and it works nicely out of pretty much anywhere. So
yeah, well, I can see that, Titleist, that's probably the area that they need to fill the most. I mean, that hybrids have really kind of taken the world by storm here lately, and that's their missing link, I think.
Yeah, and they have the 503H, but as I said in my review, it really suffers out of bad lies, where the Rescue excels, but the 503H works really well off the tee. So if you're the type of player that hits a 2-iron off the tee and not much else, maybe in the fairway occasionally, the 503H is a better club than the hybrid, the Rescue Dual from TaylorMade. But if you get into trouble now and then, as most people do, the hybrid may be a better one for you. So the 503H, I'm sure, works great, and it's in the bags of a lot of tour players because they do hit that iron off the tee and still get, 270 yards out of it or something. Me, I'm happy to be somewhere near the fairway where I can go for the green, so the hybrid from TaylorMade works a little better for me.
Well, I'd be a guy who could appreciate getting out of trouble, so I'm looking for a hybrid.
Well, you got a 5-wood in your bag now, right?
I do, yeah. I have 3-wood and a 5-wood, 15 and 19 degrees. So.
Right, yep. Well, we'll try to set you up with something, huh?
You bet.
Maybe in the spring. Titleist will, the rumor is that the 503U will be out in the spring, so
yeah,
we shall
to
see. So as I said, it's 2 days before Halloween. It's getting cold here. It's winding down, basically. We played the Newport Cup 2 weeks ago. I kind of looked at that as the end of my golf season. How about you up there? How much can you play year-round there, or is it get a little too cold, Jeff?
Well, as far as too cold, no. Sometimes we'll have a cold stretch. Last season was just outstanding, pretty unusual for the Northwest. We start getting a lot of rain, particularly in October, September, October time. Kind of into the holiday season, it'll get pretty wet and dark, so it makes it hard to play. Last season, though, as I said, was just outstanding. We didn't really have much rain until early spring. I was kind of picking the game up, through the summer and into the fall, and I just had outstanding weather. I played all the way up until February, and then it started to get pretty wet.
Wow.
Right now, it's darker, pretty wet. I got some rain last night, but things have kind of lightened up. It's kind of off and on. We have a pretty temperate climate, so I can expect to play here and there throughout the winter.
That's
we'll
not bad.
See how it goes. Yeah.
How do you think? Because I get kind of at the end of the season, I'm kind of ready for it to be over. I'm kind of saying, all right, I'm done. I don't really care to watch it on TV as much. I watch the Tour Championship because that's like a big made for TV event with just the big names, but the silly season stuff really doesn't interest me because I find that if I watch golf, I really miss playing golf. Mm-hmm. And I look outside and there's snow and then I just want to, and then I do something stupid like swing my driver in the basement and take out a ceiling beam or something. So, last year I built a putting green in my basement. It's that article's on the site, of course. Mostly to do something to ease the frustration, but,
Well, I join you. I join you in putting, but I just use the carpet, and I find that kind of keeps me going.
Yeah.
And as I say, I get to play. We'll kind of have to see how it goes this fall, but
I buy Tiger Woods for the GameCube or something, and
yeah, exactly.
Shoot 48 under par or something in two rounds, and
you got it. Well, and Tiger Woods just came out on the Mac, so I got my copy of that, and it keeps me going.
Yeah, there you go. Did you make yourself a character?
I did, and he's not quite as heavy as I might be in the real world.
Oh, well. But the wintertime happens to be a good time of year to pick up new equipment, because with half the country pretty much not playing much, a lot of the stuff comes on sale, and the spring sees a lot of new introductions, so people are trying to clear out their old stuff. So this podcast is being brought to us by Golf Gods. We've worked with them for a couple of months. We'll be right back after this brief announcement from Golf Gods.
With the golf season winding down for many of us, now is a great time to find some great golf equipment deals. This week, Golf Gods is featuring the Ben Hogan Big Ben CS3 driver. CS3 stands for Custom Shot Shaping. Here's a titanium driver with movable weight technology at an unbelievable price. Right now, it's just $149. That's 50% off. With plenty of loft and shaft options in stock, now is a great time to take advantage of this and other great deals at golfgods.com, the official online pro shop of the sandtrap.com.
That's right, and Mike and Jason over there are good guys. This driver is real nice, and for $150, I don't know if you can beat it. So, whether you're buying it for yourself or a gift, I think it's a good option. And
excellent.
Hogan clubs are very, very nice set of clubs. Of course, Ben Hogan Company is part of the Callaway line, so take that for what it's worth. Let's see what we got here. BJ Singh, like I said, I mentioned before, he's +3 the projected cut, with, you know, maybe a third of the field having finished their second round, is +2. He may be missing yet another cut this year, his second in a row. He missed last week as well. Tiger Woods, of course, missed last week. The second time Tiger's missed a cut this year, and then only the third time in his entire professional career that he's missed a cut. Yet, possibly one of his best years, Jeff. What do you think?
Tiger's had an excellent year. He's settled into his new swing change. And the thing about Tiger, that sets him apart from any other player is the guy's just a competitor. I mean, you know, you can put about any swing on the guy, and he's going to find a way to get it done. He's had an excellent year. VJ's kind of fallen off the map. I mean, he had just a breakout year last year, and his putting's let him down. I think, you know, various factors there that are kind of holding him back. But Tiger, yeah, you know, I mean, he's quiet. I remember, you know, the beginning of the season, everyone was saying how, is Tiger going to ever regain his form? What's happened? And all of a sudden, bam, he wins the Masters. And
finishes top four in every other one.
The guy's just had an amazing, amazing season, and he's back. You know, everyone's like singing his praises again, like nothing ever happened. So,
yeah. Well, how short the memory of some of the members of the golf press is, I guess.
Yeah, I think that's it.
I don't know. He's BJ Singh started the year ahead of Tiger Woods in the official world rankings. Currently, as I look at him right now, Tiger Woods 17.61, BJ Singh way back at 11.39.
Oh,
so,
man, he's
more than a
six-point
lead.
He has separated himself from the competition.
So how about Tiger's year versus Annika's year? Annika, 8 wins, 2 majors. Tiger, 6 wins, 2 majors, and, you know, top 4 in the other two, including a second at the U.S. Open, and I guess he was 4th at the PGA. I guess two guys tied for a second, so. How do you rank those?
Well, it's comparing apples and oranges, but I don't think we should diminish Annika's accomplishments, because, you know, what she's done has been outstanding. I mean, she has separated herself, just as Tiger has, from her competition. And as you said, you know, with the swing just as lazy as the Mississippi River, I mean, that doesn't even look like she's... it doesn't even look like she's swinging sometimes.
Right.
She gets great distance, but... Like, as I say, it's comparing apples and oranges. I mean, Tiger obviously is the better golfer, but, you know, man, what Annika's done has been pretty outstanding.
So Cody wrote an article in his Weekly Thrash Talk article. pretty much asking a couple questions about Annika. When do you think you know, some of these young guns on the LPGA tour are going to overtake her? When do you think Annika's going to retire? How much longer does she have left? That kind of stuff. What do you think? How long do you think Annika will be on top?
Oh, I give her a good stretch here. She's gonna continue to dominate the sport. I mean, she's got a great work ethic. You know, she's hitting her stride. I don't see anything but injury sidelining her for the next, I don't know, 4 or 5 years. I mean, you got some awesome players up and coming. Paula Kramer is doing an awesome job out there. Gulbis is yet to win. You know, Wee has done a great job of, you know, playing well, but she has, he's unproven.
Yet. Hey, so Beaker can play on the LPGA Tour. Why can't John Vanderbilt?
Exactly. If Beaker can do it, why not? Why not Vanderbilt?
I don't know. He's got to master the little flippy wave, I guess.
That's it.
See, I'm going to take the different opinion here and say that Annika's days are numbered. I think she's got about 2 years until Michelle Wee and Morgan Pressel join the tour, because I think those two players are going to push Paula Kramer, who's already started her charge towards the top. Hopefully some of the other, you know, I hate to call Christy Kerr a veteran, but, you know, hopefully some of those other American and possibly some of the Koreans and stuff are ignited a little bit to make a charge. I think some people on the LPGA Tour are a little complacent, and I was really happy to see Paula Kramer not only say that she was going to win in the Solheim Cup, but actually do it, and I think that's the kind of confidence and brashness you need to maybe knock Annika off her perch. And I think with Kramer on tour right now, and a couple others coming up in the next 2-3 years after her, she and they are going to make a pretty hard push. They're almost too young to know better. You know, Annika's been dominating for 8 years. You know, 8 years ago, Paula Kramer was 10. So, you know, she may not be as threatened by or as in awe of Annika as maybe, you know, some of the people that Annika's been playing against for 8 or 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
So, but we'll wait to see it. You know, I'd like to see people challenge this because I think that makes it more interesting.
It does. And like, as you say, I mean, Kramer's attitude, you know, at the Solheim Cup was awesome. And I don't think it was presumptuous. I think she just said, he did it. That's exactly what it's going to take to knock Annika out of her day. I kind of feel like she's, we'll see. It's
right.
Going to be exciting.
Yeah, Kramer's comment didn't disrespect Annika at all. But she felt that maybe she had a better team and said so. Golf has long been a sport of gentlemen and gentle women, I guess. But that doesn't mean you can't have some enthusiasm and root for your team to win. So, hopefully she continues with that attitude and really makes a charge. So we're about done here, with this first episode of the, Sandtrap.com podcast. Just today we published a review of, the Alpha C830.2 driver. It's by a company called Alpha, which is big on the Long Drivers of America Tour, the LDA Tour. The guys that do carry the ball, you know, 340 yards, and they still get it more than 5 yards a roll. But anyway, Dave liked the driver, and we encourage you to check that review out. The link will be in the show notes, of course. Next week, we'll talk about the Big Break 4 and how badly it sucks, among other things. To wrap things up, we'll take a question from Mike. God knows how you pronounce his last name. Mike V, a longtime listener from Minneapolis. He writes in to say, my new consulting job requires me to play more golf. While that's generally a good thing, I'm relatively new to the game and I don't play very well. I get pretty nervous and it tends to take some of the enjoyment away. His biggest problem off the tee is where he has a tendency to slice the ball. He's a lefty, so his slice goes to the left. He can't seem to correct this, no matter what he's tried. Do we have any tips on how he can relax and what he can do about that slice? Jeff, why don't you take that first?
Yeah, sure. Well, you know, Eric's going to have some good swing tips for you, Mike. But the one thing I would say, you know, I've been at this just over a year, kind of in earnest. I played every summer, having lived in Alaska for a long time, moved down to Washington. I really got into it. And, you know, the one thing I would say is really try to take a lot of the pressure off yourself. You know, you're with probably playing partners that you're associated with in your job. Just go out there and try to have a good time. I mean, that's the one thing that I've implemented in my play is to not take myself so seriously, to get out there, have a good time. You know, if you hit some bad shots or say you make good contact, which is you slice it, enjoy the good contact. You know, try to focus on the positive instead of the negative part of your game, and I think you're going to find that you're going to improve.
Good. Yeah, have fun. On the slice, you know, it could be a number of things. Slices are caused for righties when the club face moves from the right to the left as you move through impact, basically outside to in, and outside to in is true of a lefty as well. So, you know, there are a couple ways to work on that. Some slices are caused by an open club face, but most of them are caused by coming from outside to in. A lot of what I like to do to just try to visualize where the club is going through the ball is, on a tee, stand against the rough where they haven't cut the tee grass down and swing along that line, and you'll be able to see, because the rough line, if you line it up kind of down your target line or where you're aimed, that's straight, and if you're coming across it from outside to in, you'll be able to see the club head cutting across that rough line. Try to get, you know, it so that you're swinging either down that line as long as possible through impact. So, those are my tips. So, I hope that answers your questions. You know, there are a lot of ways. Obviously, consult a PGA professional and see what they have to say for you. And thank you for listening to the first episode of the Sand Trap Podcast. We'll check with you next week, and hopefully you have a couple of the kinks worked out. Thanks for joining us. Bye-bye.